Welcome, everyone. How is everyone today?
Great.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful day.
Now we have our panelists with us today. We're glad to have one of our regular teachers on the program. We're glad to have you with us today. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm Josh, and I'm happy to be here, Doris.
And who else do we have?
We have Simon.
It's always good to be back. I love being on the panel, and I'm really excited that you've invited me today to discuss this topic with you.
Well, we're going to talk about the lesson that's on page 34. It's talking about diversity. And what does diversity actually mean, Simon?
Well, when I hear the word diversity, I usually think about having a good mix of different kinds of people or different kinds of things. And in this case, we're specifically talking about people or workers at a company. And so we're talking about having a good mix of male workers, female workers, and workers of different ethnicities and cultural backgrounds.
Boy, that's a pretty good definition.
Yeah,
there,
we see the word diverse in there, right? And it just means variety. And we all like variety in our life, don't we?
Well, I think there's a lot of variety in the whole world. Look at how many different animals are. Mm-hmm. So many different kinds of birds, diversity,
yep.
Monkeys.
So many different kinds of foods.
People, right?
Do you know anyone that eats the same thing every day? I know some people like that, and it just drives me crazy.
I don't know anybody like that. People I know always like to eat something different. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
I love diversity.
But, you know, there's diversity right here today. There's only three people, and one of us, that's me, happens to be a woman,
mm-hmm.
a
mm-hmm.
white woman. Mm-hmm. But we also have a Canadian with us today.
That's right.
That's diversity.
A whole different kind of person.
Yes.
Josh is a male. We have two males, one woman, one Canadian, some Americans, part. This is really diversity.
It is. We have diversity, and we didn't even try.
We didn't try. And, you know, at Studio Classroom, we have a lot of people who were Chinese people born in America, and sometimes we have Norwegians and Germans, all kinds of people here, don't we?
That's right. We've had black employees, white employees, all different races.
So diversity is good, but most of the time we do have diversity. We have it in our schools. We have kids that were brought up in different countries, and some are half Chinese and half American. There's a lot of diversity around us.
It does feel like the world is more of a melting pot today than ever before, with how much traveling we're doing and with mixed families, right? Kids mm-hmm. growing up with multiple ethnicities and backgrounds.
Well, that's right. Like, your wife is Chinese, but she's American Chinese, right?
That's right. So my kids are Chinese and American and enjoy both cultures.
So there's a lot of diversity around us. But in companies sometimes nowadays, people are looking at these big companies. And what are they thinking?
Well, they're wondering, are they representative of their user base, of their audience?
Mm-hmm.
If it's just a bunch of white men producing, you know, the digital tools that we use, are they the right people to create things for this diverse audience?
So that's kind of a new concept, isn't it?
It is. And these public companies like Google and Facebook are being criticized for having too many white males in their workforce.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that too. But what about Pandora? How does Pandora get into this?
Well, Pandora is actually an old Greek myth. And basically, the idea is that there was this person named Pandora who created a box. And inside the box were all kinds of terrible things. And when someone opened the box, all of these terrible things were released into the world. And so it's a story about this box. It's actually called the story of Pandora's box.
So whenever you say open Pandora's box, you're opening up something that's going to give you a lot of problems, right?
That's right. So we say, oh, be careful. You don't want to open Pandora's box.
But the thing is, why would they call a company Pandora? Seems like a strange name to me.
It is. It has nothing to do with the box, I don't think. It's just a streaming music service, which is
now,
why
have you,
we have...
Have you heard of that service before?
Oh, sure, yes. When I'm in the States, I use it quite a bit.
How do you use it?
Well, you download the app, or mm-hmm. you go to their website, Pandora.com,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't work here in Asia.
Okay.
They only have licenses to stream music in the United States.
And so what happens when you open the app? You get a lot
so
of...
So you create a radio station, basically, around your tastes.
Okay.
So you can create, you know, a Doris jazz station, and then it'll play jazz songs, and you can then click, I don't like this song, or play more like this song, and then
really?
It'll build a profile of the type of music you like and play more songs that they believe you'll enjoy.
Well, then you're not getting much variety if you just stick to one kind.
Well, you can create a tons of stations.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have a smooth jazz station and a gospel station and a rock station and flip between them.
Does it cost money?
It's free to stream the music, but you have to listen to commercials. I think one or two commercials an hour. Or you can pay them, I think, $10 a month and listen commercial free.
Really?
I was just going to say, Pandora, the name of the company, may actually refer to the original meaning of this word, Pandora. As you know, the root word pan often means a cross. It's actually a prefix. It means a cross. Like, for example, Pan American Airlines referred to an airline that flies across the U.S.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's so similar in the Asia to KKBOX, which is the streaming music service that's very popular here in Taipei.
Have you ever used that?
I have, yes.
I've used that too.
Yeah. I just listen into radio stations, classical music stations or jazz stations. You can hear those too. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah, radio still works, but streaming music is very popular.
Okay, so they're trying to, in this company, get a variety of people, so they have, a variety of staff, and they call that diversity. So this Lisa Lee, who happened to have been born in Taipei.
That's right.
But she certainly got around the world. She lived in South America and the States, so she's really kind of international, isn't she?
That's true. And she's a female Asian Silicon Valley techie.
Yeah, which makes her kind of special and rare at this point, right?
I don't know how rare they are. I've got a lot of my friends that are from Taiwan that are working at places like Google, and there's quite a few Chinese people working in those places, actually.
Yeah. There are, but they are the minority.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's always going to be a minority wherever you go,
That's true.
You can't exactly make it equal all along the way, but minorities mean there are not as many as there are of other people, but usually they go by your ability, not whether you're Asian or something else.
True.
The ones that I know, they graduated from schools in the States and they got jobs there because of their qualifications, not because they were Asian.
And I don't think these companies are purposely not hiring Asians or blacks or Hispanics. I think they are just not seeing those resumes come into the companies.
Because those people maybe wanted to do something else,
Or they don't know about the opportunities or feel that they could get the job.
Yeah, diversity can mean other things too, though, right? It can also mean looking for people from a range of backgrounds. So for an organization like Pandora, it might be useful to have people from a wide range of backgrounds around the world just because it would help you become familiar with different kinds of music and, different sorts of offerings to make for your customers.
Mm-hmm. It's true. If they just had a bunch of white males, it might just be,
sound a lot like the radio.
Right.
All the white males that I know, they're into all kinds of reggae music and black music. So I don't really think that just because they're white males, they're not interested in a variety either. You got to really be fair that way,
True.
I don't
listen to any reggae, though, Doris.
No, you don't. But anyway, Lisa Lee, she shares about the importance of making more opportunities available to more people so that they can know that there is this opportunity. Doesn't mean that they're not welcome in those companies, that these people don't know about the openings, right?
That's right.
So that's a job. And so let's read about that. Let's take the first column on page 34.
Diversity within Pandora. Lisa Lee shares about the importance of making opportunities available to a variety of people. Lisa Lee wound up in Silicon Valley almost by accident. Although she had envisioned a career in the arts, Lee applied to work at Facebook after stumbling upon a job opening. There, she found her calling by helping the social networking site diversify its ranks. She's now leading that charge at Pandora, where she is the company's first diversity program manager. In a recent chat with the San Jose Mercury News, Lee discussed how Pandora has managed to attract and retain women and the importance of transparency. The conversation has been edited for length and clarity. What has been your experience like working in Silicon Valley as an Asian American woman?
Now, Lisa Lee has been around. She was born in Taipei, and she lived in South Africa for a while and went to the States. So she's kind of been around. She's got a lot of variety in her life. But she ended up, or she wound up, where she is now. Of course, she's only about 30 years old. So, you know, who knows where she might move next? Who knows? But she ended up in Silicon Valley, which is south of San Francisco, in the area where they have a lot of tech companies, right?
That's right. San Jose, Mountain View, Sunnyvale. It is the tech capital of the world.
And she didn't plan to go there. She just ended up there by accident. I think, Simon, you just ended up in Taiwan by accident, didn't you?
It's a very long story. Too long for now. But it's interesting because this word accident, often people think of it as sort of a negative thing. Like we talk about car accidents or various other kinds of accidents where people are hurt or things like that. That's not really what we're saying here. We're just saying she didn't really plan on it.
Right.
There, too, it doesn't mean she didn't apply for a job in Silicon Valley. It just means when she was planning out her life, she had never really thought that she would end up working in Silicon Valley.
What did she plan? She envisioned. What did she really plan for herself?
Well, she thought she'd have a career in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that picture of her up top. She does look sort of artistic, right? Mm-hmm. Someone maybe working in theater.
She looks like she's thinking pretty hard about something, right?
Drama or theater. I don't know if she was thinking of performing or just maybe writing or acting, but instead she applied to work at Facebook.
Now, that's interesting because she applied to work there, and then she must have found out that that was a good place to work, seen an ad or something. What do you think?
Well, it actually says she stumbled upon this job, which is interesting because it sort of points to what Josh was saying about how sometimes it can be hard for people to figure out where the job openings are. And in this phrase, stumbled upon, it means she kind of accidentally found a posting for this job at Facebook and decided to apply.
Right. There are so many agencies now. There's one called Monster that has all kinds of jobs. And if you want a job, you go to these agencies and they tell you what jobs. Isn't that right?
That's true. And there's also recruiters that'll call, and there's job fairs, and there are lots of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think people miss opportunities that are out there.
Mm-hmm. They don't know. But if they want a job, they can find out, right?
True. Yep.
So what else does it tell us about it?
Well, that she found her calling. It was at Facebook where she discovered the job or the vocation that she felt she was made for, that her skills and interests matched perfectly.
Yeah.
In doing what?
Well, and in this case, what she's doing is helping this social networking site diversify its ranks. And when we talk about ranks, it's actually a reference to the military where people line up in rows. Those are called ranks. And so the idea is diversifying the group of people who are lined up working for the company.
So she's pretty high ranking right now because she's actually the company's first diversity program manager. So she's come up the ranks, hasn't she?
Yeah, and it shows you that this is a new type of position, that companies even as big as Pandora, who has thousands of employees, didn't have someone focused on this until just last year. So it's controversial, as we think we all agree, but it's something that companies are just starting to figure out how to address.
So this San Jose, which is the town south of San Francisco where a lot of these companies are, their newspaper, the Mercury News, they talked to her in a recent chat. They probably went to interview her, and she discussed how they managed to attract and retain women, and how important it is to be transparent about this. Now, this importance of transparency may be a little difficult to understand.
True. It's about this idea of being forthright, being upfront with the issues of diversity in a company, because they are receiving a lot of criticism, especially Google last year when they finally came forward and released how many men they have on staff versus women. And it was, I don't want to misquote it, but it was shocking to some about how few women work at Google.
Of course, it wouldn't be too shocking to me in a way, because usually they say that women have certain talents for multi-track. They can do a lot of different things. So they're often in PR jobs or in jobs that have to do with a variety of things, whereas men are often more like in a company in the computer department because they like to deal with the mathematics and all of the back work that has to do with that. And women more like would like to be the PR people, mm-hmm. or, you know, they like other kinds of jobs because they're a little more, you could say, social by their nature.
Agreed.
So I don't think it's surprising in a way because it's just kind of a natural. There are some differences in what men and women like, I think.
Yeah, this term transparency is actually a really useful one because it doesn't only refer to diversity. It really means openness, and it's really become kind of a buzzword in the business community, maybe over the last decade. You hear a lot about financial transparency,
mm-hmm.
for example, when you're talking about a company sort of making open or making public the way it does business. They also talk about transparency in terms of the way companies make deals with each other, meaning that they're not making secret deals or sort of doing work secretly for the government.
Right.
Everything is transparent and open for people to see how it's happening.
And in a way, that's a very good thing, actually. But in another way, it could be sort of dangerous for a company to be too transparent because of their competitors. Then they will have an opportunity to say, okay, they're doing this, I'm going to do that.
That's
so
true.
There's some reason sometimes why they aren't transparent. You can't tell everybody how much money you make, and it's not, you know, really everybody's business sometimes. I think too much transparency can be a danger to a company.
I agree. And companies, especially public companies, mm-hmm. who have shareholders who want to know the details of a company, they have to struggle with how much should they reveal to their shareholders and what would then go public to people who aren't in the best interest of that company.
See, but that's the catch, right? Because the shareholders are the owners of the company. And so what you end up having is, if you have a culture in a company where they're doing things very secretly, what they're really doing is hired managers are hiding things from the owners. And so that's why you see this push towards transparency.
Right. Well, it's got its good and bad points.
That's right.
I think that if you have too much of that, maybe you're plan is not really well done yet. It's going to be a while, but the shareholders might say, I don't think I like that, and they might tell the boss, so then they become the director, and then he can't do what he wants to make the company productive because the shareholders who are not that professional about it. So I think there's two sides to that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's what that word means. So, and she said, well, what has been your experience like as an Asian American woman? Now, not just, she's probably an American citizen by now.
Yes, okay. I'm sure.
So what is your experience then working in the tech world? And this is what she's talking about. So let's read and find out what she said.
For the first couple of years when I was working at Facebook, I was very, very involved with community work outside of work. I would get in, work my 10 to 6, clock out, and go and conduct my nonprofit meetings. Looking back on that time, I think there was probably a lot of relationship building that I missed out on. It was a pretty tight-knit place. I never really felt like I was a core part of that, but I think that was by choice. Pandora released statistics on diversity last year. Have those disclosures made it any easier to change the status quo? I had been an advocate for data transparency for quite a while before I even ended up at Pandora. I knew a lot of companies didn't want to disclose that information, but I just never really agreed with that. I thought that if the public just knew how much attention was needed, we would get more support and more resources. When I was interviewing at Pandora, it was something I brought up. I wanted to know the company's view on that before I agreed to come and do diversity work here.
When answering this question about her experience, she said the first couple of years she was working at Facebook. Now, Facebook, you know, is quite transparent in a way. Everybody seems to know what's going on at Facebook, don't they?
That's true. They have thousands of employees, and they're very forthright with
But she was very involved in other things, too, outside things. And if we want to read up above what she did, she had all kinds of things. She was working with Asian American. She had a group that talked about eating disorders, and she worked on Asian American civil rights. She was so busy doing all kinds of things, she didn't really do much with Facebook except work there during the day, right?
It really is amazing. She was the publisher of a magazine, the co-founder of a community forum, and a board member of a couple of organizations, all while working at Facebook from 2007 to 2011 to around 14. That is, this woman, I don't know where how she slept.
Well, she said that she was very involved with these other things, but she'd get in to work at 10 to 6, and then she'd go out and conduct all her nonprofit meetings. So that was kind of her life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so she looked back and she thought, well, I probably didn't do a lot of things to become very good friends with my Facebook people. I didn't have much relationship building. I missed out on that. And it was kind of a tight-knit place. Tight-knit. It's kind of an interesting term here.
It is. It sort of refers to sewing, where you would create something that's knit together. It means it's woven using a needle and thread. But in this case, it's talking about the feelings that you have within an organization or a family, meaning that you're closely connected.
And she didn't feel part of that. Of course, she went right way after work to her other things. She didn't stay and do things with them. So she's fair, and she says, I think that was my choice.
And sometimes it's hard to break into those groups at a company where people are very
tight-knit. But you have to spend time, too.
It does. It takes effort.
I mean, you don't just go there and go home afterwards. You have to invite them over to your house or do something too.
Mm-hmm.
But she says it was by choice, so she's not blaming them, right?
Well, I think it's important, too, to remember that Facebook and Silicon Valley were never really part of her life plan. And so
no,
I suppose probably when she was hired, she might have just thought of it as a job, a way to pay the bills,
while
she pursued her other interests.
Right.
And she had plenty of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thick Dumpling Skin. That's a pretty unique name for a website.
Well, she was trying to get the Chinese women to, you know, find out how they could look better. And she was really working with Asian women a lot. So she still had a lot of that responsibility for her own Asian people in it. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it actually describes it in the box above as a place for Asian Americans to discuss body image issues and eating disorders.
I know.
So it's more about things like low self-esteem and...
Well, and they want to be thin, that's eating, so they don't eat.
Yeah, worrying about sort of psychological health and self-image, maybe, rather than like makeup tips.
So no wonder she didn't get in much with other people, because she was kind of involved with... You can't just get into every group there is. You spend time with them, you know.
It's
some
true.
People go to church afterwards, and they spend a lot of time in their church groups, not at their company. So they have different groups they're interested in, too.
And that is the cost of long work weeks, right? The longer you work on stuff, sort of the more scattered you get sometimes, the more difficult it is to stay focused on one specific thing.
But she liked the idea of Pandora, and Pandora was very transparent. They released statistics. They said there are statistics on diversity. They said that probably they didn't have enough of different kinds of people. So those disclosures, those things that they said... Have they made it any easier to change the situation that Pandora is in? That is called the status quo.
That's right. How is it now? What is the current situation at something being done? We call that the status quo.
So what did she say? Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because the suggestion in that question is that the statistics didn't look very good. It's sort of a hidden suggested meaning. Yeah, exactly. Like when they released their statistics... Those disclosures might have made it easier to change things. And why would they make it easier to change things? Well, because they were kind of embarrassing, or they weren't...
They weren't what everybody expected.
Nearly as diverse as people had expected or wanted, yeah.
But she had been an advocate. She'd been one who really pushed for that. She says, I believe in this data transparency, and I believe in this. And even before I went to Pandora, I knew a lot of companies that didn't want to tell you all that. But I didn't agree. I thought they should tell. So she said, I want to support people being transparent. And then when she was interviewing at Pandora, what did she say?
Well, she says she thought that if the public knew what the attention was needed for this situation, it could get more resources. And I think that's interesting, where there's a lot of shareholders who want to push for change in things, but they don't really understand how difficult it's going to be to change these workforces, because they are so male-driven and especially Caucasian male-dominated. So now the spotlight is being put on this outreach, this effort that's needed to make change in Silicon Valley.
So before she joined them, then she said, I want to make it clear what I think, didn't she?
That's right. And she wanted to know what the company's position was as well. She says specifically in the last line there, I wanted to know the company's view on that before I agreed to come and do diversity work here. And so she wanted to know that she had a company that was interviewing her that was really interested in changing that status quo or the way things were and moving towards the diversity that she was interested in introducing.
Yeah, remember, she's applying for a job that's never existed before.
Right.
So you got to wonder, hey, guys, do you even know what this job really means?
Well, and nobody really wants to be, you know, the sort of person at the cubicle in HR who doesn't really have any clear purpose. You know, they're like, they've been hired because it looks good to have a diversity coordinator, but there's no real interest in changing hiring practices or things like that. So I think that's maybe wise.
So she wanted to find out. But can you imagine if you're going to interview this person for the job, here comes this Asian-American woman and saying to you, Josh, well, I want to know what you think about this. And say, well, okay, you know.
That's true. She turned the tables on them a little.
She found out what they thought. We're going to talk about this more tomorrow, this diversity within Pandora and what it means. And it's kind of an interesting, different kind of lesson. So stay with us and be back tomorrow, and we'll finish the program with you. See you again.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.